Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chief for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
I wasn't a Chief for Yourself. Great to have you with us today, wherever you are in the world at this moment. Well, there are zillions of stories of people who set out to accomplish their goals but fell just short. Think of the sports metaphor being stopped on the one-yard line. Our guest today has help for you if you find yourself falling short of your own goals. Those could be losing weight, finishing your degree, or even finding a mate. Bridget Dengel-Gaspard is a therapist, a former performer. She teaches at Omega Institute, too. Bridget is the author of The Final Eight, Enlist Your Inner Selves to Accomplish Your Goals. And I'm very happy to have her with us today. Bridget, my example of falling short of a goal was pretty simple. You have a whole process for dealing with this. So tell us about the title and what it means, The Final Eight.
It's great to be here with you. And so The Final Eight is literally failing inside of victory. And it's a really terrible feeling because you've worked hard, you're talented, dedicated. These are clients I worked with and would stop in sight of the victory, and it would be mysterious. It's one thing if you know you haven't done something and you understand your motivations, but it would be a mystery. And the term, the final eight, just came to me as I watched so many different clients struggle with this issue. And so it's about like being stuck just right in front of victory. But I think there are specific things that are going on that make this an arena that's particularly painful. So some people don't get here because, say, they procrastinate. So then they never get to the final eight. But these are really for people that it doesn't make sense. Dedicated, hardworking, talented. They think they want their goal with every fiber of their being, but what they find out is that not all of them want what they think they want, and for excellent reasons. And so that's why I added the subtitle, Enlist Your Inner Selves to Accomplish Your Goals, because I do this work called voice dialogue, where you talk to different parts of yourself. And the idea that all of our parts, alter egos, subpersonalities, inner selves, we use these words interchangeably, have wisdom. Some of their wisdom might be a little difficult to hear and not all warm and fuzzy, but there is reason why this stall is happening. And since you're stalling anyway and your usual modes are not helping you cross that finish line, I think this can be really helpful.
Just for clarification, we're not purging these inner selves, right? I mean, they're always with us. We're just dealing with them. Is that?
Yes, I like to say yes. And if ideally, you even end up embracing all of yourselves with the final eighth process. Yeah. Getting to know these different agendas actually frees you to get out of being stuck, going around and around, and feeling terrible about not crossing your finish line.
A recent guest on this program left the entertainment business. He was a dancer, and he left to become, of all things, a volunteer firefighter. Now, you were an entertainer. Yeah, it was quite a story. Now, you left the entertainment business, too, and I'm wondering, what is it that, I don't know, moved you from leaving such a glamorous profession and doing this kind of work?
It was a slow process. So I was a performer in New York City, and I also did stand-up comedy, and I wrote sketches and performed in sketches, did a lot of things like that. So I was always on the lookout for creativity tools. And as such, I literally synchronistically stumbled upon voice dialogue. And it's a method where you talk to your different parts that is created by my mentors, Hal and Sidra Stone. But of course, I'd never heard of them before, and I just read about the technique. And as an improvisational performer, it totally made sense how a way to get in touch with all these different parts, how fun is that, which it is. So I hunted them down, which means I went and got their 1-800 number. And I was blessed to become their mentee and got lots of facilitations and voice dialogue, got to know my own inner selves, which literally was part of my healing journey. I come to realize the parts of myself that needed healing was also what happened in this journey. So as I studied it more and more and got trained in helping people learn how to facilitate, I watched healing happen and transformation, and so rapidly through this method that I thought, wow, I'm so much more interested in this than in pursuing performing. So ultimately, it got less glamorous to pursue performing and much more fulfilling to go into the depths of psyche and help people reclaim these aspects of themselves, you know, enter their higher being as with chi, as you know. It's like so rewarding. So that's when I went back to school. I went to Columbia University to become a psychotherapist. So I got clinical training, and now I've joined the clinical training with my creativity and my creative training, and it's really fun.
Before we get into some of these inner selves, yes, it would be good to clarify to the listener, the reader, that we're not talking about multiple personalities, are we? This is something different.
It's very important. I'm glad you brought that up. No, this is not about multiple personality disorder. It is about health. And multiple personality disorder is a trauma-based disorder. And people need to get help for it that have it. It's, and there is, so that's good. But this really is, the premise is that we as healthy people are comprised of many different selves. And you know, there, the poets have been talking about it for eons. Walt Whitman says we contain multitudes, and it's in that vein that we talk about our different selves, and that we also don't think one is bad and one is good. One is better situated for a goal or less better situated. One might be healthier, have healthier suggestions, but the other part is that all of ourselves were formed to protect our vulnerability. And that does not matter if it's the inner critic, a lazy one, or any of these parts that we've labeled problematic. They might be problematic, but they still have the noble purpose of protection.
I think of another supposedly protective device, and that's the ego. Does the ego come into play here at all?
Yes. Again, I'm less into that in my book, but in terms of voice dialogue, ego is very much part of it. And the idea is that you go from an operating ego, which we would call our set of primary selves. We think we're this one being, but we have primary selves, and that's who we consider me. Then, as you do the transformational work, you grow a more aware ego, so that your sense of self literally expands. And I think that's where a lot of the transformation comes in. You thought you were X, and then you realize, wow, I'm X and Y and Z. And it's wonderful. And that doesn't mean you have to lead with any particular part at any time, but just knowing you have access to more of yourself in any given moment is transformative.
Some years ago, I did some work with inner child, and I'm wondering, does that ever come up, or do you ever broach that subject with your clients? Is that part of the process too?
Very much part of the process. The inner child is an extraordinary part of us, and I would say we have more than one. And so I think a few things. People get confused that their wounded inner children, that's the one and only. And we do. We have wounded inner children, but we also have magical children and playful children. So I think our inner children are often a key to our intimacy. And so reclaiming access and then loving those inner children is very much part of the process. And it's often surprising. People come to me because they're stuck in a goal, a career goal. And sometimes what we find out is that the focus of the work has to be about going back, being gentle, and getting in touch with the soft key to this very large adult-sized goal, is having a better relationship with our inner children and loving them and like tucking them in. And I was curious what you learned from your inner child work.
I learned that things were not, I don't know if this was something I expected or didn't expect, things were not as I thought they were at home. And I had processed things differently, I guess, than what they actually were. And I also learned how to let go in a way that freed me in ways that really surprised me, even in movement, athletic movement. I noticed I move differently. I used to be a much tighter runner, for instance. And people would say, wow, you look like you're really running fast. I say, no, I just let go. And I know they didn't understand what I meant. Nothing had changed physically, but the changes I made to that inner child were really noticeable and helpful.
It sounds incredibly profound, and you bring up a very important point, is that all of ourselves are in our body, energetically, muscularly, physiologically, and that makes a lot of sense. And that's what I also love about this work and the final eighth process as well, is you know what you know, and you're probably right about some of your expectations, but the surprises and the gifts that you just did not even imagine, like, oh, when I do my inner child work, I'm going to actually improve my running. That's what I mean. That was things like that that made me go back to school and think, this is glamorous.
Yeah. And I learned to let go of a lot of resentment, which I thought was very important for me too, because I had a lot of that. And I'm sure in final eighth work, that's possible, and you probably see a lot of that.
Absolutely. And including, because as you said before, we don't get rid of any of ourselves, but we can update them to the current events. Like, you don't live in that house anymore, so you don't have to treat your inner child the same way, for example. And then some people have resentful selves. And so in Forced Dialogue, you can say, you know what? If that's a resentful self and that's just what it does, we can spend some time with it and honor, like, in here, I resent this and I resent that, and where is your resentment in your body? But then you always come back to center, and that would be like what you might call the ego flip, the center, so you have access to all of these different parts. It's like becoming whole, really.
Our guest on this She For Yourself is Bridget Dengel-Gaspard, author of The Final Eight, List Your Inner Selves to Accomplish Your Goal. I know the issues that you look at in your work and in the final eighth seem to have their genesis early in life. And when I talk about these things, there's always that 600-pound gorilla in the room, you know, you're going to beat up on the parents again. And I say, no, it's not about the parents. But I guess there is a tendency to kind of think, well, you know, this is put into place, and that's why I feel that way. You see that?
Yeah. So one of the things I like to say is, when you were born, certain cells, again, all natural, all healthy, all good attachment and bonding, certain cells in you were preferred in your household. So they were reinforced, and certain cells were not preferred. So you hid them down to fit in, to get love. And you do this unconsciously. And it's shaped by the parents or whoever had power in your household. But when you meet your parents, you actually meet a whole family tree of inner selves. And so once you process it, and the idea is, it's not to blame the parents for blaming the parents' sink, but just like you said, you shifted the way you saw things. And so sometimes, you know, someone will have put a parent on the pedestal, and that parent is going to get off the pedestal, and there's going to be grief and big emotions, but that energy then comes back to you. And you don't have to hate your parents or anything like that, but it's now being processed that this was a human who was going through life. And sometimes I have to allow that some people, they have parts of themselves that hold painful truths of your past. And they're just going to always hold those truths. That doesn't mean that today isn't wonderful. But when bad things happen, and bad things can happen by accident, you know, someone could have had their house burned down as a child, and it was just not anybody's fault. So again, it's not necessarily even directly blaming a parent. But that part went through it. And they'll never be asked to cheer up, but you can just love that part and understand when that part's scared, that part's gone through some really rough stuff, and we'll hold it. And then you honor it. Thank you for making me aware, me now in current events, maybe there is something I need to look out for. You know, those parts that you're like, oh, I wish I wasn't so scared, I would say, well, okay, just touch base. Why do you think that part's scared? Just feel it. Is there something there? And then once you realize, no, that was just a reflex, you're like, okay, great. And then you can quickly move on. It happens so quickly, but you don't pretend it's not there and you don't wish it away. Because that's what saps all of your energy and gets you stuck. Oh, there's my scared part. I hate my scared part. And now suddenly you're off and running on why you hate this part of yourself, which only makes you more stuck.
You wrote in the book that you had your own final eighth episode. Can you talk more about that?
I've had a few final eighth episodes in my life, which is why I wrote this book. So, yeah, I mean, it's very painful. I talk about a few. One was that I was in New York as a performer and I had written a script that I, so that was a final eighth, starting and finishing and registering a script. And so for every final eighth, when we're lucky, there's a first eighth. And that's what you want to aim for. And then you move on to the next thing because you're ready for the bigger picture. And so, a long story short, basically this was the era as the internet was just forming and they were looking for content to put on this new thing called the internet. And a friend of mine, we put it on the internet and it got a lot of press. It was like the mid-90s and I needed to move it to the next level. And I had appointments to go to Microsoft at the time who was buying content and I never did it. I was too scared. I didn't know how I would do it, but that's not a reason to not do something, I now realize. And that was really painful, that because I did it to myself. That the universe said yes, and I walked away. And that's the big message. So many times, it's when the universe says yes that the stall happens. And then it is a type of tragedy.
Now, you're also a creativity coach, and mindfulness is part of your coaching. I was wondering, do you have a favorite mindfulness practice that you like to use or talk about?
I don't have a favorite on the one hand, right? The paradox is, and I practice a particular mindfulness technique. I don't mind sharing. A lot of my mindfulness exercises are more creativity-based that I've learned in varying ways. But it's about bringing attention, as you know, to something. So it could be very body-based breathing and not necessarily even telling yourself how to breathe, but notice and pick a spot. Like, don't say your finger, where on your finger that. And also noticing that any decision you make, even in terms of how you want to do mindfulness, involves 1,000 points of a decision making. And the whole point is to slow you down and bring you into the present. And so I love them all. And when I find a new one, I share it. Because I think also sometimes doing something new, by its own definition, you're going to bring more attention to it because your curiosity is going to be piqued. You get out of the rut of like, okay, I know how to do this. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but if you're doing it like just, well, okay, first I do this and then I do that, and then there's nothing mindful about that. You want to really stick to what makes you present.
I'm going to pick one particular inner self, and that is the angry inner self. And you say that these selves can teach us things, and why would this angry self that frustrates a lot of people and obviously makes them angry, why would that be a helpful thing? How does that work?
So a few things. I think that angry self, often when one feels their angry self come up, they're terrified because they fear out of control anger. And I would say that's an appropriate fear. So the less direct relationship you have with your own anger, probably the more fear you have, because when it comes up, it's probably that much more rageful and destructive. Also, many people have a history of being around immature anger, shall we say, that the adults in their lives did not, in their early lives, did not handle anger well. So because it's more like a stranger that comes through you, that's often how it feels like. And you hear people say, I don't know what came over me. I was so angry. And they really don't know what came over them. And so anger has many gifts. And with voice dialogue, and the book talks about this step by step, you go to the part of you that's angry. And you ask what they're angry about. Again, where they live in the body. And what would you say some gifts of anger are?
The anger has, dealing with the anger has helped me to sort out what's really going on. I get a better vision when I know, I'm doing that, I get a better vision of what's going on. So I don't get swept up in the moment, and I can handle, I get that moment to step back. Instead of being swept up, I have a better vision, and I can disseminate, I guess, what's going on here and kind of, you know, break it down and do something constructive about it, not hurt anybody in the process. That's a good thing.
Anger often tells you when there's been injustice and you need to stick up for yourself. Anger often tells you when you're done with the situation. And I talk about that, a personal example where it's like your anger says, get out. This doesn't fit anymore. So I think a lot of, again, constructively applied anger can help break stuckness and say, fine, you're afraid, but really, do you want to look back and regret it? And it, again, anger is a process in trying to break through your block.
Yeah. One of the first things I say when something comes up, it could be an angry moment, it could even a grief moment, a sad moment. One of the first things I say is, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to take away? And I get an answer almost immediately.
It's extraordinarily rapid.
One last question before we finish up and we'll let you go. If someone is dealing with their own falling short of their goal, just leave them with one good starting point, I guess, a way to get them going in the right direction.
If you're stuck, be curious. Try to get a new attitude about your stuckness. I always say, when you're stuck, that's what's on the calendar. So don't fight it anymore. So if it's your procrastinator, your confused one, your fearful one, okay, talk to that part because that part has wisdom. And if you talk to that part and be curious, so what's going on? And my book really does give you a step-by-step guide. So that's another thing. Get the book because I think part of the stuckness and then feeling really bad about it is hopeless and lost without a direction. And so be curious because there are lots of directions. The great news about today is that people have access, no matter where they live, to incredible wisdom. And don't get bogged down by the sadness. Start to be curious about what's going on.
Your website is final8.com. The book is The Final Eight. Enlist your inner selves to accomplish your goals from our guest, Bridget Dengel-Gaspard. Bridget, keep doing the great work you're doing and helping us get over some of these really baffling moments. I appreciate that and the book, and I hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
Thank you, and to you, and to be continued.
I will link to Bridget Dengel-Gaspard's website, achieveforyourself.com. You can hear archived Achieve For Yourself episodes on blogtalkradio.com and elsewhere. And make sure you subscribe to Genuine's blog posts on the start page of achieveforyourself.com. Just put your email address into the window provided and get all of the posts. That'll do it for today. Thank you very much for being with us and for all of your support. Very much appreciated. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.